Penguin Audio presents No, I Don't Want to Join a Book Club by Virginia Ironside. Read by Sean Phillips. October the 3rd. Okay, this is it. About 50 years too late, but better late than never. A diary. I know it's not January the 1st or even November the 1st, but there is no time like the present. Don't we always say to ourselves, if only I'd written a diary when I was 20 or 30 or 40? But in my 60th year, or 59th to be precise, or, oh God, maybe it is my 60th year, I remember some tedious man explaining to me recently how even though I'm 59, I'm actually in my 60th year. Totally incomprehensible, but I finally gave in. Anyway, in whatever year it is, I, Mary Sharp, retired art teacher, divorced, one son, one cat, and resolutely single after about 1 million failed relationships, am determined to give it a final crack. A diary, that is, not a relationship. Oh, dear me, no. I wrote my first diary when I was 10. Riveting stuff. Got up, went to school, had maths. Ooh. Came home, did prep, had supper, went to bed. I started another when I was a teenager, but that was when I had a crush on Archie, who was a year older than me and had no idea of my feelings. I still have about 4 exercise books covered with the words, I love Archie, I love Archie, I love Archie, on every page. On the cover of one of them is a huge crimson heart with Archie emblazoned on it. I remember when David and I were married and had our son, Jack, we kept a joint diary. But that was just full of lies, because we each knew the other one was going to read it. I had to keep a separate, secret diary because I felt so miserable about the whole marriage. In our joint diary, I wrote, great day. We all went to the round pond with Jack and came back to tea with Huey and James. Lots of jokes and a splendid tea. In my private one, I wrote, I just can't stand David and his horrible relations. I can't bear the way they all feel like a secret society I'm not part of. I want to be free. I want to dance. I want to have affairs. Of course, shortly after that, I did. And David and I broke up. But oddly, we stayed friends. Anyway, God knows what he was writing in his secret diary. Even odder, I also stayed friends with his half-brother, James, and his partner, Huey. And I stayed friends with Archie, even though I never had an affair with him. When he married Philippa, I was at his wedding, and we've had lunch every so often over the years. It turned out that his firm in the city used Huey as his solicitor. He works in something mysterious called futures. So, as so often happens, all my friends made a complete circle. I didn't have time to keep a diary when I was at art school or doing teacher training. And it's only now I'm 60, well, I will be in a few months, that I'm going to give it a go. I mean, properly give it a go. So, October the 8th. Woke with watery eyes. Very bad sign. I mean, it's okay to get them on a cold and windy day, or when something terrible has happened, like flu, and you think you've got glandular fever, and will never be able to so much as walk to the shops again, let alone lift up a telephone to moan to a friend about being unable to walk to the shops again. But to get watery eyes for no reason, ooh. I know a man of 70 whose eyes water so much he has a drip permanently on the end of his nose. It is, I fear, a sign of age. It's like the time when I went to Dr. Farmer recently with pains in my knees. A touch of osteoarthritis, Mary, she said. Happens at our age. when I explained that it couldn't happen to me because I never take any exercise, and therefore my knees ought in theory still to be in perfect shape, the knees of a 10-year-old, barely used, exceptionally low mileage, one careful lady owner. I could probably even dig out the original box and receipt. She explained it didn't work like that. Rather a bore. October the 10th. Have just come home, gasping with relief from a dinner party. I was hoodwinked into accepting the invitation because my old friend Marion rang using the well-worn trick, "What are you doing on Thursday?" And instead of saying cautiously, "Why?" I fell into the trap. "Nothing," I said. Clunk. I suppose the odd dinner party can spring a wonderful surprise. And Marion, being something of a Wonder Woman, like cheese, she's always on a board, has been known to produce interesting guests. But generally dinner parties are like the lottery, you rarely win. The problem is, first of all, there are never enough men. And by now, middle-aged, I was going to say, but perhaps the phrase getting on might be more accurate, the men who do attend are always spare for a very good reason. They are either completely hopeless or completely mad. I'm not sure. That description doesn't apply to most men, actually, whether they're spare or not, which is really why I've ended up so committed to being single. Doesn't mean some men aren't funny, sexy, kind, and fascinating, but you can be all that and hopeless and mad at the same time. The second problem with dinner parties is that as you get older, you don't, well, I don't, actually want to meet anyone new. There are quite enough people I know whose friendship I would like to consolidate, and other people's favourite people are very rarely my favourite people, and vice versa. The only new people I do want to meet are young people. But all old people want to meet young people. We fall on them like vampires. I remember myself when about 17 being mobbed by men and women who at 50 seemed ancient. "Do let me sit next to you," they'd say, floppy lips working over tobacco-stained teeth set into receding gums. "I do so love young people." And I would cringe as they hovered close, sucking into my youth, slavering over my peachy, blooming skin, my sadly immature views, my everything. "Do tell me why you like the messy look. Why do you like young men with long hair? Do explain the Beatles to me. I do find them fascinating. Don't you find miniskirts rather cold? Do tell me, what is this generation gap we hear so much about these days?" Nowadays, I don't blame them, though I'd never be so overt in my own craving for the company of the young. Yesterday, I was talking to one of my best friends, Penny, and told her that yet another friend of mine had died. Philippa, actually, the wife of Archie, who I had a crush on when I was a teenager. She's the fourth to pop off this year. I have actually attended no fewer than 5 funerals since January. And she said that 6 of her friends had died in the last 18 months. "The awful thing is," she said, "that now we just have to make do with the people who are left. Unless," I said, "we cultivate young people." "Which we don't," she said. "Well, I have to say, I do. Though the admission feels as sinful and horrifically honest as getting up in an AA meeting and saying, I'm an alcoholic. I mean, who is there going to be left when all around drop like leaves from trees in autumn? If I'm not one of the early droppers, I certainly don't want to be hanging around on a bare branch, flapping away all dry and brown and lonely. I want some nice young green shoots around me." Marion and her husband Tim live in a pokey little Edwardian house in West London, still decorated with the Laura Ashley wallpaper that had once looked so pretty in the 60s. They are one of a group of friends of mine who seem to live in rock pools. Their sitting rooms could be scooped up, transported to the Jeffrey Museum, and displayed along with beautifully preserved Elizabethan parlours and Georgian music rooms as typical examples of mid-20th century style. The moment I entered the dinner party, awash with grey heads, I knew I was in trouble.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?